We have this passage here for the first Sunday of the new year, which is also the second Sunday of Christmastide. And the first Sunday of Christmastide is the birth of Jesus and the celebration. But if you remember your own children and grandchildren, after you've had them home for about a week, you say, what have I got? Because all the needs that they have that you can't imagine are just there. They're right there for you. You got to figure it out. And so Mary and Joseph had Jesus. He's now 6, 7 days old. And he was born into a world that didn't welcome him that much. But this passage from John 10, as we take time together today and preparing our hearts for Holy Communion, this passage projects from that child being born, God in his infinite wisdom taking the form of a human being, fully human, fully divine, a mystery, and saying, I'm not only going to come to you, I'm going to be among you. I'm going to walk where you walk, eat what you eat, live where you live, and I will show you the love of God in a perfect way in a human form. And so Jesus writes about himself. He tells us in his 10th chapter, he's the good shepherd. And he chose that name for himself. This was in a land of no good shepherds, okay? A good shepherd, there weren't that many good shepherds. You had to find a family that had sons or daughters who followed the sheep. We know that David, before he was king, was a shepherd. He followed his father's sheep. That's where they found him when they were looking for the next king of Israel. And he was a good shepherd. But most shepherds were hirelings, and they were people who just wanted a job. And there were families whose children were gone and had gone in different directions, and there was no one to follow the sheep. And so they would hire somebody. And when a sheep would not be compliant and would not stay in the fold, then they would take the sheep out to the side and break one of his back legs. And now the sheep stayed close because the sheep was crippled and wounded. And so Israel was a land of crippled sheep. So people knew what it meant to be a shepherd. But Jesus took the name Good Shepherd. It was an oxymoron. I'm the good shepherd. And he says about himself, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He said the hireling, you know, they come in and seek to destroy the sheep. The wolf comes or the lion comes and the hireling runs. He said, well, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he gives the statement that's the only cause for the love of God that's listed in the whole Bible. He said, for this reason, the Father loves me, that I lay down my life. And he says, and if I lay it down, I can take it up again, because this is a command from my Father. So he lays down his life. We have Jesus, who's our great shepherd. He's the one who takes care of us. He's the one who gives attention to us. We sometimes think of ourselves as a flock of millions of people. How does God take care of millions of people? Billions in the world. But he says, I know you. The sheep know my voice and they hear it and they respond, and I know you. He tells parables about a man who had 100 sheep, and he had 99 sheep when it was time to go home. And he said, what did he do? Well, everybody knew the answer. He went home with his 99. He said, no, he left the 99 in the field, in the wilderness, and he went and found the one. And he put the one on his shoulders and he brought him back and he said, rejoice with me. My sheep which was lost has now been found. On this first Sunday of a new year, we remember how trustworthy God is. Who do you trust? Holy Communion is not something we do once a month or some months more than once. We always have Holy Communion on Christmas Eve. Holy Communion is something we do to remember who we are. The wedding feast of the Lamb is referred to in the New Testament as the final culmination of everything that's being prepared for all who God gathers home. But we have this foretaste of that. We have this moment whereby we take by faith into our hands the body and blood of Christ, not in some cannibalistic way, but in a metaphorical way that says, I lay down my life for you just as surely as if you took my body and blood to yourself. You take these elements and you remember that I am your good shepherd. You remember that I died for you and am now alive forever. He took the image and he filled it out and fleshed it out. He cares for us individually. There's a parable that's told in the Middle Ages about the man who got to heaven and he's walking the Elysian fields. It's so pretty, so gorgeous. And after a while, he finally walks into Jesus. And Jesus said, how do you like it? He said, it's unbelievable. He said, I can't imagine anything more beautiful than this. He said, but I have a question. He said, where's everybody at? And in the parable, Jesus says to him, didn't you know there was nobody down there but me and you? In every person's eyes, you see Jesus. In the eyes of your enemy, in the eyes of your friend, in the eyes of those who would spitefully use you, in the eyes of the stranger, in the eyes of the one in need. There's nobody down here but you and Jesus. There's nobody down here but me and Jesus. He is present, omnipresent in my life and yours, and he's with us every step of the way. And he says, this feast has been prepared for you this day. Our communion stewards, I was here early having to preach the 8:30 service too, and they were already preparing. Our communion stewards were in here putting the elements on the table, appropriately decorating the table with the sacredness of God, that you might be invited. He cares. He cares about each individual sheep. Sometimes we think, if this is how to be loved, I don't want to be loved as hard as I'm being loved, you know? But life does have its ups and downs and its tragedies, but life also has this. A father who says to us, do you lack anything? And the temptation at different points in our life is to say, Lord, you know, I'm in agony here. I'm hurting here. I have this loss in my life. And he says, do you lack anything? And the response of faith is not braggadocio. It's just saying, Lord, if you are with me, what could I lack? And if this is not mine to walk through, why are you walking through it with me? Of course, I lack nothing. Your presence is everything. I love the story from almost 50 years ago now. But when Bill Henson was in Albany, they took 50 kids on a choir tour over to England. I was serving Christ Church. He said, would you like to go? I said, you ain't got enough money in the world. Keep up with 50 kids in England? So coming back, he told a story. He said, they would Heathrow Airport, put them on the airplane, they'd count them down. And they low boat in that airplane, they go over 47, 48, 49. And he had 49. Now, that's 98. That's passing in any college I've ever been in, except the college of bringing children home, okay? So they scramble around, and one of the children had stopped to get ice cream. You know, that's what a child was. So they found the child, and his foot hit the ground about every third step to the airport, to the airplane. They got him on board, and they brought everybody home. He said he remembers till the day he died the terror he felt when he counted down those children, and he had a bunch of chaperones. It wasn't like he was him by. And they had herded him and herded him, herded him for all this time, and they had 49. Jesus said a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky, and sparrows are 2 for a penny, 5 for 2 pennies, that the Lord doesn't take note of it. He's a good shepherd. We know what's important. Sometimes in our extremities, we know it even better. Sometimes in our heart of hearts, we cry out to him. When Robert Scott, the explorer, was dying at the South Pole, they died hoping somebody was coming for them. England tried. They turned heaven and hell to get somebody to them, but the storm, the winter storms in Antarctica are just unbelievable. But they were hoping somebody was coming, and they found the expedition in the spring. And they found his journal, his log, and it's in the British Museum in London right now. It's open to the last page. And Robert Scott wrote as the last thing he wrote in his journal. He said, "For God's sakes, take care of our children." And they had listed 47 children who were the children and grandchildren of the people who were on that expedition. It's on display. It's been there for 100 years. To say, when you boil the water out of the pot, you got to be a good shepherd. The best shepherd we can be. We're certainly not good shepherd like Jesus, and with a capital G and a capital S, but we got to be good shepherds. We got to let our children know they're loved. Sometimes that's a hello, and I'm so glad to have you here. And sometimes it's, where in the world have you been and what have you been doing? You know, to be upset with a child is not the end of the world. That's being in love with them. I met with a family one time. They were having trouble with one of their children. And they said, what do you think's wrong? What do you think's wrong? I said, I'm not a child psychologist. But I had a Coke sitting on the back porch with that child while the parents were in the living room. And I said, your mom and dad say things are just not going as good. I said, what's going on? And she said, I've got an 11 o'clock curfew. And I said, okay. She said, I always come in just dead on it. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I came in 15 minutes late, and they were sitting up watching the news, and I just went up to my room. She said, a couple of weeks later, I came in after the news had gone off, and they had gone to bed, and that's when I knew they didn't love me. That's her problem. She had a simple statement of it, but it was a horrible thing to fix. You know, we're supposed to lose our minds over our children. We're supposed to let them know that there's a love behind everything we do for them. God loves to see us sacrifice. He loves to see us shepherd one another in appropriate and good ways. To touch base with each other, care for each other. And the holy things of God can only be carried in person. I'm glad we've got Zoom, and I'm glad we've got streaming. Thank you, technological people, for that gift, because we just wouldn't have had any way to keep in touch with each other. But don't ever believe that that's a replacement for the church. The holy things of God have to be handed flesh to flesh. In the book of Numbers, in the 7th chapter, the sons of Kohath are listed. And it says the sons of Kohath, their job was to carry the Ark of the Covenant whenever the cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night moved and the tabernacle moved. They ran huge poles through the rings, and the sons of Kohath championed them on their shoulders, and they walked. And the scripture says, no oxen or ass shall ever pull or beast of burden attend the altar of God, because it is to be carried upon the shoulders of the people. Carried upon the shoulders of the people. We have to do that. If you've been to Nag's Head, North Carolina, you've seen the Coast Guard's monument there on the coast. It shows a little, what I call a lifeboat going out, people grabbing it, running to the water. It shows a hurricane out here. And the statement on it, it says, we have to go out. We don't have to come back. Because one night, on a terrible night, a ship sent a distress call, and one of the younger sailors said to the captain, said, do we have to go out? He said, we have to go out. We don't have to come back. But we have to go out. Life is not about everything just works out like I want it to or you want it to. We have to live it. We have to have a faith in it instead of a fear. If we're afraid it's going to fall apart, it's already falling apart. If we have faith that we can face whatever God places us in, we begin not to feel courage, but assurance. We begin to feel compassion from one whom we do not know by any other name except Jesus and the Good Shepherd. The choice is ours. In George Bernanos' Diary of a Country Priest, this monk wrote this phrase. He told about his life as he died of cancer, serving as a country priest, serving a congregation. And he said, faith is not a thing one loses. We merely cease to shape our lives by it. Faith is not a thing one loses. We just cease to shape our lives by it. May we be led by the Good Shepherd into the coming year. What the future holds, no one knows. What they'll tell you on television is everything you've ever wanted or not wanted to hear, and who knows what's right. But the future is terse, and the future is ominous. But the Good Shepherd is out there, and he says, the world is mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I will not leave or forsake you. So we have this celebration called Holy Communion, where we get together and remember again who we are. Not exclusively, we are for the whole world, the body of Christ broken. For Jesus, in his teaching in the third chapter of John, said, for God so loved the world. He viewed Christians as his servants. He viewed our life as at his beck and call. And therefore, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Let us now prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. If you'll turn to page 12, we'll begin to go through the ritual.